911, what are you reporting?
I got a strange going on out here. Something just killed my dog.
Something killed your dog?
My dog went flying through the air over the tree. I don't know how it did it.
Okay.
Damn it, I'm really confused. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence, and he was dead when she hit the ground. I didn't see any cars. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence.
What are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was?
There was. It was standing up. I'm out here looking through the window now and I don't see anything. I don't want to go outside. Jesus Christ, you better...
Sheriff?
Dia!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6 foot nine, I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
Hey, everybody. This is Les Stroud. Yes, yes, I know. A.K.A. Survivor Man. And you're listening to Brian on Sasquatch Odyssey.
Hey guys, and welcome to this week's bonus episode of Sasquatch Odyssey. Thank you guys so much for taking time to click play. It is Sunday. This is the second bonus show of the week for you guys. But as always, I want to start the show by inviting you. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. You can get me at brian@sasquatchodyssey.net. Go over and check out the website. You can become a member there and help support the show. This is the second bonus episode of the week. You guys should have already listened to Carol Hall, the author of Disappeared. So I'm not going to do a whole lot of housekeeping. I'm just going to reiterate the fact that I appreciate you guys for showing up week after week after week. Some people have asked me, I will address this, am I going to be dark for the holidays? Absolutely not. I will be here with the show on the week of Thanksgiving, the week of Christmas. For New Year's, I will be here with the show. We're not going to be dark if I can help it. If I'm alive and I'm breathing, I'm going to put out a show for you guys every single week. That's my commitment to you. Now, if anything comes up, I'm not able to talk, that may cause an issue. But outside of that, if I'm able to talk and I'm able to get to this equipment to record a show, I'm going to put out a show for you guys every week. So thank you for showing up. Thank you for clicking play. I'm going to stop talking. You guys enjoy Jeff from Missouri. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Guest tonight is Jeff from Missouri. Welcome to the show, man.
Oh, thank you very much.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. So I know you've got some stories to tell, and I want to get right into it. So why don't you take us back to your first encounter and tell us where you were, what you were doing, and what happened to you, man?
Okay. Well, I tell you what, I'll start with my Bigfoot. I am an outdoorsman. I spend a lot of time outdoors. Now, personally, I have never actually seen one in the flesh, which I'm all right with. I have found large footprints. I found hair that doesn't make any sense. In fact, up in my father-in-law's farm that he has, it's a little farm. It's not big. It's about 30 acres. I used to go up there, and like I said, I'm an outdoorsman, so I do hunt. There was an area of corn that was laid down. I've spent a lot of time in the woods. I've seen the way deer lay down and whatnot. This was large. And it wasn't right. There's a local show in my area on the radio, and on Tuesdays they do a thing called Paranormal Tuesdays. They had a spotting up in that area that I heard of a week later. I actually called into the show and spoke to the person who had seen it, and I asked them, you know, which road did you see it go on? And I gave them the name of the road off off the air. And they were like, yeah, it went right over through there and went to a cornfield. And I was like, well, I know where it went. So that's about my main run-in with Bigfoot. Every now and again, I will find, you know, something strange out in the woods. But I spend a lot of time out there, so, you know.
Yeah, I think a lot of people run into things like sign and things that they can't explain that may or may not be related to Bigfoot, right? I mean, really, nobody knows what these things do or where they go. Or I've said it on past shows, you know, when somebody comes on the show and says, well, I know exactly where they go and I know how they sleep and I know how they make this or how they do that, I usually tune out because I think they're usually, you know, things that they think, but they're trying to state as fact. So it's interesting that you found that. I mean, was it like a bedding type of situation where it looked like something had laid down to go to sleep, or what were you thinking about what you were seeing at the time?
It was a bedding area. There was a section of corn that was laid down for bedding that was probably, I'd say it was a 30-foot diameter circle in corn at the time that was above my head. And I know it wasn't deer for the simple fact that there are no deer out there. I've tried, trust me. It could have been a fat groundhog walking in circles, though. I don't know. You know, it was just one of those things that really struck me weird. And it was one of those that I was like, okay, this is, you know, this is strange. And then whenever I heard on the radio show the next week, man, puzzle pieces started falling in together. I haven't seen it since. So, I mean, I think it was, but heck, it could have been a tornado. I don't know. It was in Illinois. You know how that goes.
Very true. Well, this is the Paranormal Odyssey, and I know you've had some other interesting encounters with other things. So why don't you tell us about some of your other encounters with things that are a little bit more on the paranormal side?
Well, the main one I reached out and contacted you about recently was I'm going to say I'm 99.9% certain that I may have been abducted. This is something that the only other person that knows this is my wife and my best friend, who was my best man at my wedding. It's one of those, I don't want to tell people. They'll think I'm a nut. I'm actually college educated. It's one of those things that, you know, I don't want to be branded as that guy. You know, I went to bed probably around 2 a.m. I own my own business, so I'm usually up late. I go to bed, lay down, check through my, you know, emails and whatnot, and fell asleep. And about, I don't know, it felt like I had been asleep for a while. I was in a good sleep. And the next thing I know, I was strapped to a table and I couldn't move. I've had sleep paralysis before. I know what that feels like. This was not sleep paralysis. This was a lot like whenever you go and have a surgery type feeling, strapped to a table. I looked up and over me, he was a large, I don't want to call him a gray. You know, the grays are done to death, man. With everybody always talks about the big eyed gray aliens. He was a big eyed alien though. Best I can say. He was sort of a brownish color. He had very prominent ridges, brow ridges. And whenever I woke up on the table, I heard him say, he's awake. He didn't say he's awake with his mouth, though. He looked at me and he said, you shouldn't be awake. I went into a fight situation. It wasn't fight or flight. It was fight. And I started moving. There were two others around me. The one said, he's moving. He's able to move. And I took a swing at the one that was standing over my head. I don't know if that was the boss. That may have just been a nurse for all I know. If it is, I apologize to it. But I was a little freaked out. They grabbed me. They started holding me back down. Blacked out again. Next thing I know, I wake up in my bed. And I'm like, okay, that was a little weird. Because it didn't feel like a dream. My dog sleeps at the foot of our bed. He was whining. And he wasn't whining a little bit. He had his head up on the bed and whining. So, you know, I got down, comforted him. I said, do you need to go outside? And he just curled up and laid back down once he realized I was there. I've always had strange instances where I've had operations before. I've had my appendix removed, things like that. I woke up on the operating table. They have a hard time putting me under doctors. And this felt exactly like that did when I was, gosh, how old was I? 35, and woke up while they were taking out my appendix. So it was, I don't know, it stuck with me, man. It's been one of those things that just has, I think about it all the time. And it weirded me out. And I don't get weirded out often, but this one weirded me out quite a bit.
Yeah, man, you're not the only person that I've talked to that has had abductions. I've had people on the show that have been abducted multiple times. And I've had other people on the show that have investigated abduction cases. And your story is very similar to lots of other people. You're definitely not the only person who's experienced this. I'm curious, have you ever had any other sightings or any other interactions or anything with something that may be alien? Have you had any other experiences in your life that would maybe, I guess I'm asking, anything that led up to this or that you can think of that might have led to this abduction?
Not within the past 20 some odd years. I mean, when I was a kid, we lived out in Las Vegas, Nevada. And one of our favorite things to do, especially my mom and dad, they were big, they're big space nuts. You know, my mom is, my dad passed away, but they like to go out in the desert, and we would sit outside in the night sky, and you know, you could watch satellites fly over, and every now and again you'd see a satellite that would start to fly, and they would take a 90-degree turn all of a sudden. Could have been military spacecraft or military aircraft for all I know, but there were far too many of them for I think it to be that, and they were far too high. The town of Wood River, Illinois, which is close to where I'm at. I do live in St. Louis. I guess that was 99. We saw a silver orb in the sky one time. It was me and a couple of my other friends as we were actually driving to Walmart one night, and it hovered for a little bit and then it took off. It definitely was a UFO. We have no idea what it was. You know, it was that flying unidentified object, but personally up close to him, this was the first time that I know of, you know, and it just, I don't know. It was weird. It was definitely weird.
Did you have any type of physical reactions after this, either that night or in the days later? And I asked that specifically, and I'll talk about that in a little bit after you answer the question, but did you experience any fatigue or anything that you could link to that experience after it happened to you?
There was a lot of nervousness, almost paranoia. The only, you know, I checked my body for marks. I didn't have any marks because you always hear about that. You know, they implanted me with something or whatever. I had a strange pimple that appeared on my jawline, which is where they were touching me, but that was about it. It's hard to explain. Like, the paranoia is kind of still there. Like going to bed at night, I'm very jumpy still whenever it comes time for bed. And I found myself preferring to sleep during the day more often than at night. So I stay up later, which is hard to do. And then I'll stay up all day because, you know, I own my own business. So it's like, man, I got to get sleep sometime.
Exactly. And I asked that question specifically because I've had somebody on the show in the past who had multiple abductions, but prior to any of the abduction scenarios that he was involved in later on, he saw a craft and it flew right over him, and it was probably 15, 20 feet above him. And there was this really intense heat, and he actually got burned, physically burned, to the point he had to go to the hospital once he drove home. And his brother, I think it was his brother, said, dude, you got to go to the hospital because your skin is extremely burned. And he ended up with cancer. He's been battling cancer for, I think, 9 or 10 years now.
And, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And it's one of those things. It's of course, it could be a coincidence, but you know, he told me there's no history in his family of cancer. Nobody has ever had cancer in his family. He's the first person he's ever known of that's developed cancer. Could that be a coincidence? Absolutely. But how often is it that somebody comes within 20, 30 feet of an unidentified flying object and receives these intense burns and then subsequently battles cancer for the next 7 or 8, 9, 10 years?
Yeah.
So I always like to ask, and a lot of people I've talked to have talked about pock marks and like these scoop, they call them scoop marks, where either skin or tissue has been removed. And of course, you always hear about the implants, right? So it's fascinating to me, man. I've always been very curious about these abductions because it just doesn't make sense to me.
Stay tuned for more Sasquatch Odyssey. We'll be right back after these messages.
Oh, no, and I'm the same way. I mean, you hear people say all the time, oh, why would they come to a backwater like Earth? And I look at it as, you know, chimpanzees and gorillas probably think the same thing of why would these humans come to the backwater of the jungle? It's simply to learn about what's going on.
And that's a very fair point, because the more I've done these shows and the more people I've talked to, because I've said that to myself, you know, I've always said, I saw a UFO when I was 16. So I've had an experience that I can't explain, and that sort of drives me on every day to seek those answers. I don't know what I saw. I don't know what it was. It was clearly an unidentified flying object. Now, I didn't see what was operating it, but it was clearly under intelligent control, and I believe to this day that it was probably some sort of alien craft, but I can't prove that.
Right. No, and like I said, whenever I was a kid and we lived out in Nevada, out in Las Vegas, I would see stuff fly across the sky all the time whenever we'd go out to the desert. I can't prove it was alien. I can't prove it wasn't. Like I said, it was a true unidentified flying object because I could not identify it. But the way things would move, at the speeds they would move, and how they would disappear, it was always one of those things that, you know, either the military's working on new craft, which they do all the time, or it was something that was well above our knowledge level of what we can do.
And I've experienced similar things. I've seen things out on the beach and other places that I can't explain. You know, these lights in the sky that are moving erratically and what appears to be a plane, but it's going way too fast to be anything that we may have,
right?
You know, so it's one of those unexplained things that we're all seeking the answers to. But particularly with the abductions, it's always fascinated me that people are being taken from their beds and seemingly going through walls and well, like you said, you remember laying down in your bed, and the next thing you know, you're waking up strapped to this table. I just can't imagine. And this may be too personal. If it is, you can tell me to go pound sand. But I'm curious, what was your wife's reaction when you shared this with her?
At first, whenever I told her, she kind of looked at me weird. And then whenever I told her about our dog, what he was doing, she kind of backed up and went, that's really weird. She had thought I gotten up at one point to go to the bathroom. I may have. I don't know. I don't think I did. I'm a 42-year-old man in pretty good health, so luckily I haven't reached that point yet where I do have to get up and go to the bathroom every night. But
I'm 46, and it sucks, man.
I will remember that for whenever I get there.
Yeah, you'll be there before you know it. Well, and I asked that question specifically because you get different reactions, right? Because I have friends and people that I work with. I have a day job. I work 50-hour a week retail management job, and the people at work know what I do. They know that I do a couple of podcasts, and they know I'm into Bigfoot and the paranormal and all the things that I'm into. And some people think it's funny, and you know, some people are into it as well. So I'm always curious about the reactions, particularly to those that are closest to us, because I've had experiences that I can't explain. You've clearly had experiences you can't explain. And when you tell and share those experiences, you certainly get different reactions from people. So I'm always curious to know, you know, like your wife's reaction when you say, honey, I think I might have been abducted by aliens. What do you say to that, right?
Yeah, well, and it was funny. I told her tonight, I said, okay, I'm going to be on a podcast. And she goes, oh, what's the podcast on? Because she thought it was going to be rock hunting. That's what I do. I collect rocks and minerals and sell them and stuff like that. And I told her, I said, well, it's a paranormal one. And she looked at me and she goes, is this about the abduction thing? And I said, yeah, I would have thought she had forgotten it. You know, she, half the time I tell her something, she's like, yeah, okay, you're crazy, whatever, and forgets it. She remembered this one. So I think it kind of spooked her. I know it spooked me, but
yeah, and I can only imagine, man. It's one of those things that you almost feel compelled to tell people, And yet, yes. like you said, you're afraid that people are going to judge, and you're afraid that people are going to make fun of you or label you that guy or whatever the case may be. And that is the very reason that I created both of these podcasts and both of these shows, is to give people a space to come on, tell their stories, and not feel crazy.
Right.
Because the more stories that we hear like this, it's a culmination of all these experiences. And the more stories we collect and the more stories that get documented on shows like this, the more we learn about the phenomenon. And the more I talk to people, the wilder the stories seem to get at times. And it's hard not to sit in judgment when you hear somebody say, hey, I think I was abducted by aliens. Well, who am I to say that didn't happen? You know, but a lot of people point that finger and say, well, that's impossible, you know, therefore you're lying. Well, if you come at it from that point of view, if everything's impossible, then of course everybody who's had any experience is lying or making it up, or it's some sort of misidentification of some sleep paralysis or whatever the case may be.
Exactly. And well, that's my one buddy who I told, he's retired military. And I told him of what had happened, and he kind of joked about it at first. You know, he was like, oh yeah. And then I told him what happened, and he was like, dude, he goes, I've seen you tell stories before, and I've heard you tell the truth before. And he goes, this one, he goes, you're kind of giving me the chills. I went, you got the chills. I said, how do you think I felt? You know, I know that morning whenever I got up and checked on the dog, whenever I came back, I was mad. I mean, I was very angry. Like, you know, they took me out of my bed as my best guess, you know, and that's not cool. I'm very much, if I ever had the chance to meet an alien and they said, would you like to come with us? If they invite me, I will more than gladly go, but don't just grab me. That, you know.
And I think that's one of the things about those types of experiences that fascinate me the most, is it is a violation, right? And these things are coming in, and I've talked to all different types of people. I've got Dr. Pan is coming on this week's show, and she's a ufologist. She's investigated the paranormal. She's a psychic medium. And we had a great conversation about some of the things. And that was one of the things we talked about, is the fact that some people have this notion that these aliens have some sort of a pact with the U.S. government to do the things that they do and take the people that they take. And my question to that has always been, if these things are so far advanced and they're able to travel millions of light years and get here and have this advanced technology, why the hell do they need to come and ask the president of the United States if they can abduct somebody?
Exactly.
And I've had those conversations, and I'll ask you in a second, but my question to most of those people are, you know, why do you think that is? And I get different answers, you know, well, they do it because of this, and we get technology, and, you know, it's this, that, or the other. I mean, do you have an opinion about that? I mean, what do you think the government knows, and how far in and how deep do you think the government's involved in this UFO thing?
Oh, I wouldn't put it past them to be in so deep that it's not even funny. I mean, you got to think, Vladimir Putin, he at one point said, if you don't do this, I'm going to release what we know about UFOs. So that was a threat to get, I don't remember what it was on, but that was a threat to get the Americans to do something, you know, to shut us up. I highly believe that, especially the superpowers, you know, the big three, us, Russia, and China, I highly, highly believe that they know more than they will ever let on. I often question if they allow us to be abducted, because if I was one of the big three, I don't think I would want one of my citizens to be abducted. I would say more along the lines of, you know, here's a third world country, go crazy. That's what the governments have always done to poor third world countries. So knowing that they're out there, I don't think they have as much control as people think they do. It's one of those, we're the big bads on this planet, but these guys just travel time and space somehow with the technology we don't have. We're kind of at their whim, you know?
Yeah. And that seems to, that's more the way that I lean on the subject, because I've often said that I think most people would be very surprised what the government doesn't know. Everybody thinks that the government is like this omnipresent being that knows all and hides everything, and it's this one big conspiracy theory after the other, but I truly believe that the government knows way less about these things than most people would like to believe, or for whatever reason. I'm certain that they're involved in some way, and I think we've probably collected craft that have crashed in the past, and we've probably gotten technology out of some of those crashes. But in the big scheme of things, I think the government is often clueless, because I don't think there's any way of knowing everything that's happening, and maybe all the visitors that we're having to this planet. And the more that I've went into the subject, the more I'm tending to believe that maybe these things were already here, or it's some sort of multi-dimensional type thing. Because I used to think, hey, these things are traveling millions of light years and they're ending up, like you said, in the swamps of Earth, or the woods of Earth, right, or whatever. But it's starting to make more sense to me that maybe they've always been here, or at least on some level, some of them are traveling interdimensionally. I don't know. It's a theory. Obviously, I'm talking out of my ass because I don't have any clue any more than anybody else. But that's sort of what I'm starting to believe because of the people that I've talked to and some of the stories that I've heard.
And see, I'm a firm believer. I'm a big history buff. That's actually what I went to college for, is history and geology. And geology was my major. History was my minor. And you start looking at things, you know, the hieroglyphics that are found in the deserts. You look at things that are found in the pyramids, the things that are found in South America. And you have ships that almost look like a space shuttle. It could have been a bird that they were drawing, but it doesn't explain the guys who wear the helmets that look like something an astronaut would wear. You know, could it have been a time slip? I don't know. You know, I've got a theory on that in Thunderbirds, but we're on aliens right now, so I don't want to get into it.
nothing is too weird for the paranormal, Odyssey, man. And I'm with you, because I'm a very big history buff as well, and I study these things in the past that just don't make sense. They just don't add up in so many different ways. And people scoff and say, oh, well, yeah, of course it's an ancient alien, right? You're grasping at straws here to make your point because you believe in these things. But no, I mean, you really have to take a look at those things and ask some questions that deserve real answers.
Well, you look at the Mesoamericans in South America, and you look at the Egyptians. They both built pyramids. Why would you build a pyramid? I don't know. You know, for the king? Sure, whatever. But what really gets me is the fact that, and I can't remember who it was in the Mesoamericas, that they would elongate their heads. And then you look at the headpieces that the Egyptians wore, the pharaohs, and it made their heads look longer. They didn't elongate their heads, but they wore something similar. And it really makes you wonder, where did that fashion come from? Because supposedly they didn't know each other. They never spoke to each other. Did someone else come that looked like that? So that's what they did? I don't know, man. It's
a rabbit hole, man. And it's like the Paracas really skulls, right? The Paracas skulls are one of those enigmas that have been studied and continue to be studied. And we may never know the answers, but it's a fascinating thing to ponder and look at. And I think we always want to know the answers. Are we alone? What happens when you die? And those kind of things. I know you've had some ghost experiences, and I know you've done some ghost hunting and I think some ghost tours in the past. Have you got other stories that you can relay that you've experienced? Cause I've lived in a haunted house in the past, and my mom and my sister have had some issues with poltergeist and things in the past. So I'm very curious about ghosts as well.
I have some very interesting ghost stories. I actually am, like I said, I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious. I'm pretty skeptical about everything I go into until I cannot answer it. We used to work in Alton, Illinois. That was my hometown. It's actually considered one of the most haunted towns in the United States. During the Civil War, there was actually a Union prison up there for the Confederate soldiers. Lots and lots and lots of Confederate soldiers lost their lives there. They had a smallpox epidemic run through, I don't remember, it was 1863 or 1864. But they used to take the prisoners who had caught smallpox, and if they died in the prison, they would take them to the cemetery in Alton. There is a Confederate cemetery in the town of Alton, Illinois, or they would take them across the river to what used to be called Smallpox Island.
Stay tuned for more Sasquatch Odyssey. We'll be right back after these messages.
Smallpox Island is now called the Lincoln Shields Island. It is it's actually where Abraham Lincoln had his famous duel with the cowpies with General Shields. I don't know if you know about that, but over on that area was where they would bring people to essentially either get better or die. There were a lot of bodies buried there. That place will have occasionally the sound of a trolley, or not a trolley, but a wagon with horse hooves, and there will be nothing there. What's interesting, though, is in the Confederate Cemetery, which is in the heart of Alton itself. If you go there today and you can visit it, it is a historic landmark. I don't think it's a national landmark. You'll see one grave on the far end. All the other graves were marked with wooden crosses back in 1885, I think it was. Alton had a hideous winter, people running out of firewood. So they went over to the cemetery and they took all the crosses. At that cemetery, we were investigating it one night, getting ready for the ghost tour, because we weren't one of those pop out and scare you type tours. We actually, you know, we wanted to take people to seriously haunted areas. Went over there with some of my friends, and they have what looks like a jail cell down there to show you what these guys lived in. Great big thick steel doors. I walked up to it and I banged it three times and it went ka-thunk, ka-thunk, ka-thunk. That was the only sound it made. We start walking out the whole time we're recording this, you know, waiting for EVPs. We're walking out and my buddy tripped and I reached over and grabbed him. I said, "Are you all right?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm good." I said, "Okay, I'm just checking. I saw you fall." He goes, "No, I'm good." I said, "Okay, if you're good, you're good." We get back out to the vehicle and we go back over to the boss's house. Her name was Antoinette, sweet lady. And we're sitting there and we're listening to it. And, you know, it's just, it's a bunch of talk, us talking, you know, asking if anything's here, nothing being said. You hear me knock three times on the door. And I mean, it's just that real quiet ka-thunking sound. As soon as my last one hits, there were three incredibly loud echoes that sounded like somebody had taken a hammer and slammed on the door three times. That one got us. We were excited about that. Usually that's good enough for us. We continue listening. We get to the part where my friend fell. And on the second time I asked him, I said, "Okay, I'm just making sure you're good." He goes, "I'm fine." We hear a voice with a deep southern accent go, "He said he's fine. Quit worrying." Just like that. Needless to say, that spot has been on our tours for the past 10 years now, I guess.
I can definitely see why.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of our most exciting EVPs that I have been around to pick up. We've been other places where I've seen things, you know, heard growls. We've got photos of shadow people. There's always orbs, and orbs I kind of discount. Like, a lot of people see an orb and they'll be like, "Oh, look, it's an orb. It's something." I always discount those as bugs and dust for the most part. I have seen orbs with my naked eye before that we've taken photos of that they don't look like the normal orb. But, you know, it's those are the things that really stick out to me and tell me that there's, you know, something else out there. I was talking to a friend of mine one time. He's a very religious person. And I was talking about the ghost tours, and, you know, he came in. I kind of stopped. He goes, no, I'm interested in this stuff." I said, "Man, I didn't think you would be interested in the ghost tours. You know," I said, you're Catholic. You're pretty religious." He goes, "Look, man," he goes, "of course there's ghosts." And I looked at him. I said, "Why do you say that?" And he goes, "Has Judgment Day happened yet?" I said, "No." And he said, "Then none of the spirits have gone to heaven. They're either sleeping in the grave, but how long can you sleep before you get tired and have to get up?" And that one, that really struck a chord with me of, you know, he might be right.
Yeah, so. It's definitely an interesting way to look at it, man. And I've experienced a couple of things as far as ghosts in my life as well. And like the orbs, I'm very much like you. I normally discount orbs, but and I need to post the picture. I've mentioned it on the show in the past, and I've got a picture that was taken of me, and it's a family picture. with me and my better half. And at the time, my in-laws lived in what I believed to be a haunted house. I've always been sort of sensitive to that stuff. And every time I'd go into this house, particularly in the basement, I would have these really horrible feelings of being watched. And I mean, I would literally run up the stairs when I'd leave this basement. And we had a picture taken there with the family. And there's orbs all around the two of us. And there's probably, we're on like this big sectional, right, with all the family. And the only place these orbs show up are over my head. And there's probably six or eight of them. I'll have to post it on the website for people to take a look at. I guess.
Yeah, I'd like to definitely see that.
I think it might be interesting. But I too, like you, I'm very like, well, it's dust or it's this or it's that. But
Right. If you kind of have to go into it like that, and it surprises me the amount of people that actually do believe in ghosts, you know, and they'll ask me questions. They'll be like, so have you ever seen something like this? You know, and they'll talk about a shadow person or whatever. And yeah, I've seen them before. Heck, I see them all the time. And they're like, is that a ghost? I said, well, it could be a ghost. It could also be your eyes playing tricks on you. I've seen too many to think it's my eyes playing tricks on me, you know, like capturing them out of my peripheral vision. Maybe whenever I've seen them standing right in front of me and then they're gone. Yeah, that's definitely something.
Yeah, I agree, man. And there's so much to unpack when it comes to the paranormal and ghosts and UFOs. I mean, it's just one of those things that's always fascinated me, and I always continue to look for the answers. And I think a lot of times the answers lie in some of the anecdotal stories like you've told tonight. And I really appreciate you coming on. I know the UFO thing is fresh and it wasn't easy for you to share. So I really appreciate you coming on and trusting me enough to tell the story on the show. I really enjoyed talking to you and hearing your experiences, man.
Hey, I wanted to get it off my chest without people knowing 100% who I am. You know,
I get that totally. You'll forever be known as Jeff from Missouri.
That will work.
Awesome, man. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure. And that's it for tonight's show, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you guys next week.